Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm Charlie Harding.
And I'm Nate Sloan. Grab your cowboy boots and your pedal steel guitar, because today we're going country. Switched on. We're lucky to be joined today by Andrew Marantz. He's an editor at The New Yorker and appears on shows like Radiolab. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Andrew, you recently wrote a wonderful article on Kacey Musgraves, an artist who's very dear to our heart. She appeared in our very first episode about heartbreak. And we see that Kacey is between two different audiences that she's serving. On one hand, the traditional country fans, and on the other, disaffected millennials. I think Nate and I might fall a little bit more into the second bunch. Along the way, she has managed to upset some people. And today we're going to explore whether or not it's possible to criticize the values that country is founded on while being a country star at the same time. So let's get into it and see what is so stirring and contradictory about her music.
Damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't, so you might as well just do whatever you want. So make lots of noise, kiss lots of boys, kiss lots of girls, if that's something.
So to just jump right in, Andrew, what piqued your interest? Why Kacey Musgraves? Why this article?
I've been a fan of hers for a while.
Us too.
Yeah. As you said, I think her first album was strikingly good. And then I was really excited for her second album. And I was, frankly, a little disappointed in it. And so the impetus for the piece was it was a tricky one, right? Because on the one hand, for anyone who is like going to hear about Kacey Musgraves, you want to be sort of evangelical and be like, she's awesome, you should listen to all her stuff.
Right.
On the other hand, for people who are more familiar or who are going to get more familiar with her, you want to raise the problems with this second album and how it sort of stacks up slightly poorly against the first. So it was sort of a tricky thing. And I basically felt like the problem of being someone who is perceptive and critical in a world that doesn't really want to hear criticism or doesn't want to reward it financially. And it kind of made me feel like basically I wanted to take Kacey by the shoulders and say, Philip Roth would not be proud of you right now. Originally, it was going to be a piece about Philip Roth's whole essay writing about Jews and his whole problem of portraying your own community badly in the public eye, and how an author or a musician or an artist has to basically transcend, sort of like take on sort of sociopathic approaches to like burning bridges and stuff. And the piece softened a little bit as I wrote it.
As perhaps Kacey Musgraves has as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You write really beautifully about one of the standout tracks on her first album, Merry Go Round, which takes the unusual tack of criticizing small town life rather than celebrating it. What about this track really stood out to you?
I guess the most basic thing is it felt authentic. You know, it felt like something she had been waiting a long time to say.
Same hurt in every heart. Same trailer, different park. Mama's hooked on Mary Kay. Brother's hooked on Mary Jane. And daddy's hooked on Mary two doors down. Mary, Mary, quack and Trary. We get bored, so we get married. And just like dust, we settle in this town. On this broken
beautiful.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then I don't think that being trenchant and cutting and negative is preferable to being sunny or positive or anything like that. I just think it felt truer than the other stuff, which felt a little more in the groove of stuff that people had said before. And because I think it was truer, the writing just seemed more inspired to me.
Yeah, and an example of a lyric from that song. Well, it starts, "If you ain't got two kids by 21, you're probably going to die alone. At least that's what tradition told you. And it don't matter if you don't believe. Come Sunday morning, you best be there in the front row like you're supposed to. Same hurt in every heart. Same trailer, different park."
Even the little touches where you think like it's a little over the line, like she hits the word Mary really hard and like playing on like Mary with an E and Mary with a capital M-A. But she just does it in this clever, controlled way. And then she does these phrases that I think I said something like, it sounds like a cliche, but then you realize you've never actually heard it before, which is kind of the whole trick of pop writing. You know, just like dust, we settle in this town. That's a brilliant phrase. And like that kind of phrase, I don't think comes to you as much if you are writing less truthfully.
Yeah, you could contrast merry-go-round with a country song like, I heard this Jason Michael Carroll song on the radio recently, and the chorus goes, "I'm from the front pew of a wooden white church, a courthouse clock that still don't work, where a man's word means everything, where moms and dads were high school flames and gave their children grandmother's maiden name. Yes, it may not sound like much, but it's where I'm from."
I said, "I'm from the front pew of a wooden white church, a courthouse clock that still don't work, where a man's word means everything, where moms and dads were high school flames who gave their children grandmother's maiden name. Yes, it may not sound like much, but it's where I'm from."
Yeah, I know that one. It kind of feels like someone writing a screenplay about the mafia or about cops, and they've never actually like seen a cop, and they're just doing a carbon copy of a carbon copy of a something. Not to say that country stars aren't actually from small towns that don't actually have wooden pews or whatever.
Right.
Not that that's not their real experience. It feels like they're doing a copy of the platonic ideal of what they feel like they should be saying. I don't want it to be that, you know, Casey's only cool because she's like taking a crap on small town life. Like it is totally possible to be a booster of small town life. I mean, the piece I wrote talks about Loretta Lynn a lot. You know, Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, you know, are geniuses, and they did a lot of you know, boosterism of small town life. It's just they did it in a more interesting, specific way.
Well, in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler, we were poor but we had love. That's the one thing that daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar.
I think you're absolutely right that we don't want to pigeonhole Kacey Musgraves into she's just great at being transgressive, because she's also a really great songwriter, and just she writes just simply great country songs. And I particularly love this moment in Merry-Go-Round where she sings this line, "Same hurt in every heart," And this song is in a major key. But when she sings that line, she goes to this flat six chord, which is a chord that you're only going to find in a minor key. And it has this sort of sense of nostalgia shifting from the major tonality into that minor tonality. And I think it's just a perfect moment of marrying the words to the music.
Same hurt in every heart.
I also really like how she does this. She's talking about a merry-go-round, and the whole song has this sense of perpetual motion. It just keeps going around and around and around, never stopping. And she does that really artfully by having this constant banjo roll in the background. And then this snare drum and cut time, just moving along, moving along, moving along. And the chorus almost feels like it's never going to end. It has all these sort of false resolutions. And when it even does finally resolve, it just like moves right directly into the verse. And so she's doing all these things from marrying her chords to her lyrics, choosing the right instrumentation, and pacing the song just like any great songwriter would do.
Totally. I mean, even the central image of the song seems like a fun childhood toy. And then it becomes this like claustrophobic, oh, I can never get off kind of terror. It's like it really seems like a song that she spent like years perfecting.
Yeah, definitely.
And then from there, the momentum kind of carries her through the rest of the album. I mean, that's track three. And then every song after that kind of has a tinge of complexity or weirdness, I mean, to varying degrees, but even songs later in that album that are just kind of, you think it's going to be a kind of classic breakup song, there's something kind of transgressive about it. I mean, the last song on the album is about a breakup, but then it's actually about kind of like having casual sex with your ex when you know you're not supposed to, and like, which is again, like a very transgressive country music topic. So I think she just, once she broke that open on Merry-Go-Round, it feels like she just kind of was like, all right, I'm just going for it.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We keep talking about her being transgressive. Yet to be transgressive, you have to understand the language which you are criticizing. And something that I find about both of her albums, actually, is that they're really grounded almost in a more old school country sound.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot more of the acoustic instruments. a lot less heavy drumming, heavy bass, more of your banjo, mandolin, light acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And so on one level, it feels like we're going to an older style of country. You mentioned Loretta Lynn. And yet you also say she's managed to upset country fan conservatives. And I think in your piece, you quote her saying that she's been apologizing for a lot of this stuff ever since. So what has she done to upset these country fan conservatives?
She, ironically, you know, she is known as this boundary pusher, this, oh, you know, the country star who, you know, is beloved by the latte sipping set.
Like people like us again.
Yes, correct. Right. Or is willing to, you know, get behind gay rights or whatever, which is true. I mean, it's sort of a sad state of affairs that that's notable, but she actually is much more of a traditionalist than she gets credit for. And she's much more of a traditionalist than most of her peers on the country charts. And she is going out of her way to show everybody that. It actually kind of reminds me of a few years ago when Nicki Minaj was, her authenticity was challenged and, you know, she was going too far in this bubblegum pop direction. And she just spent the next year just like wearing black t-shirts and rapping really hard. That reminds me of what Casey's been doing recently, which is like, no more sort of like going into these weird dark corners. Like, I'm just going to wear a neckerchief and play it on acoustic guitar and like remind everyone of Dolly Parton. And,
right.
But at the same time, I think her project is a little more complex than that, because she's also trying to remind people, like, not only am I traditional, but traditional country music has always had this dark streak in it, and not just dark, but self-critical. And I think the biggest signal that she's doing that is the hidden track on her new album, which is the only cover on the new album. It's a Willie Nelson cover, which she sings as a duet with Willie Nelson. And it's called Are You Sure? And it is actually a very Kacey Musgraves-ish song. It's very critical of being stuck in a small town and saying, are you sure this is where you want to be? Are you sure this is where you want to end up with your life?
Look around you, look down the bar from you, at the faces that you see. Are you sure this is where you want to be?
So look around you and take a good look at all the local used-to-bes. Are you sure that this is where you want to be?
I think her point in making that her cover is, hey, this sort of strain of country music has always existed. You know, don't blame me. I didn't invent it. On the other hand, it's a little bit of a cop-out because that's the only song on the album that's at all critical of of small town life. And it's the only one on the album that she didn't write.
That's fascinating. I actually didn't hear that one.
Yeah, it's a great, it's like, I mean, Willie Nelson is maybe the best country songwriter alive. And he, it's sort of a B-side of his.
Huh.
And it's just really interesting that, you know, she met him and there's this whole story about how they basically like smoke weed together and like decided to do a duet. But the fact that she chose that one as the duet is very clearly intentional.
So moving to this new record, Pageant Material, which was released, I think, a month or so ago. This, you're saying this, Are You Sure, stands out in the context of this record, which otherwise is more in the sort of booster small town country vein that you were describing.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost go like song for song and see the sanitation happening. Like, huh. So for instance, we talked about how the last song of the first album is this transgressive breakup track. The last track of the second album is just a breakup track. I mean, it's a beautiful, wistful song, but there's nothing off kilter about it.
Right.
All the songs about small town life are like, gee, isn't it swell to be from a small town? And like, there's a couple of moments of discord But they all get resolved. And look, I'm not being totally fair to her, because in the context of country music, it actually does take courage to be full-throatedly in favor of gay rights, to be like dropping references to pot smoking, to be talking about misogyny. Like, I'm not trying to take those things away from her, but they are, in the grand scheme of things, pretty safe political positions in the larger country to take, like not country music, but like the country that we live in. It's like little needling pushes, but it's not as like dark and weird and dystopian as the first album by any means.
Yeah, song like Dime Store Cowgirl from the new album, it's more generically country, I guess.
I've had my picture made with Willie Nelson, stayed in a hotel with a pool, driven through New Mexico with a saguaro cactus growing. I felt really small under Mount Rushmore. But I'm just a dime store cowgirl. That's all I'm ever gonna be. You can take me out of the country, but you can't take the country out of me. No, 'cause I'm still the girl from Golden. Had to get away so I could grow it.
And that was the one that really felt like an apology to me.
Huh. Right, where she says, you can take me out of the country, but you can't take the country out of me.
Yeah, maybe for a minute I got too big for my britches, but don't worry, I'm still the girl from Golden, Texas. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, like, I understand what she's doing, because authenticity and connecting to your audience is so important, and it's almost more important now than ever, because the industry is fragmenting, and you only really have super fans now. Like, people who will come to your shows and buy your albums are gonna make or break your ability to make a living. So like, I understand pandering to those people, but it felt a little bit on the nose.
I'm gonna jump in and say that I think the real offender on the album is pageant material. And you had earlier said that a lot of this album kind of sounds focus grouped, as if she was running for office, as if she's appealing to only those super fans, as you were saying. And this song for me is such an offender, because it really just references country without any sort of the creative songwriting tactics that she uses. So you have in pageant material this like very typical Johnny Cash 1-5-1-5 guitar line. They're like, you know that sound?
I'm pageant material. I'm always higher than my hair. And it ain't that I don't care about world peace, but I don't see how I can fix it in a swimsuit on a stage. I ain't exactly Miss Congenial. Sometimes I talk before I think. I've tried to fake it, but I can't. I'd rather lose.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, to be fair to her, she has this line about I'm always higher than my hair, which is kind of cool. It's like, you know, get a little, you know, weed reference in there, you know, more power to her. And like, yeah, beauty pageants are stupid. And like, it's good that we have young, beautiful pop stars who are lashing out against that culture in some way. I just think the true like version of Kacey Musgraves that's like at home writing in her diary about beauty pageants is way more cutting than she is on this song.
Before we go, Andrew, we thought we would just ask if you have any favorite Kacey Musgraves lyrics.
Probably, since we've been beating up on this second album, I do have to sort of take my hat off to this second album in terms of lyrics. I think Late to the Party,
yes,
top to bottom, has great lyrics. And I also love this one line from the Family is Family song. They own too much wicker and drink too much liquor. you'd wash your hands of them, but blood's always thicker. That's a good line.
That is a great line.
Whew. Yeah, that's real nice.
Yeah.
All right.
So hats off to Casey, no matter what she does.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. Really loved your piece, Casey Musgraves, Harper Lee, and the Hometown Dilemma. We'll make sure to link to it on our website. And thank you, everybody, for listening. You can find more episodes of Switched On Pop at www.switchedonpop.com, on SoundCloud, or on the iTunes podcast app.
Thanks again, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, guys.
As always, I'm Nate Sloan.
And I'm Charlie Harding. Thanks for listening.
What's that? Shit. I swear we've done this like 17 times. Thanks for listening.
It's high time to slow my roll, let the grass just grow and lean way back.
I just want to make a quick plug for some non-Switched On Pop related news, which is that my two-man guerrilla vaudeville act, the Gideon and Hubcap Show, will be performing at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland from August 5th to August 23rd. If you happen to find yourself in that great nation, you should definitely come check us out. You can find more info at www.gideonandhubcap.com.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.